According to a new poll released by Youth Justice Milwaukee, a majority of Wisconsinites would like to see fewer juvenile offenders sent to youth prisons, such as Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake.
The poll comes at a time when youth prisons in the state are under heightened scrutiny following allegations of abuse and neglect by guards at those facilities.
Jeff Roman joins us now to talk about the poll and the state of youth justice reform in Wisconsin. He's a member of Youth Justice Milwaukee. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be here.
Well, tell us some more about the takeaways from this poll.
Well, yeah, I can talk about the takeaways about the poll. I think the most resounding thing that we're seeing is that there's been sort of a shifting in sort of ideas on what to do with young people who are having to face and be involved in the juvenile justice system. And so we're seeing an overwhelming majority of Wisconsinites who would rather see young people be provided with additional resources and supports for their neighborhoods and their families so that there are alternatives, I should say, to going being sent to prison and being incarcerated.
And some of the specific questions ask things like, even in cases where they are incarcerated, should they be within a certain number of miles of home? Should their families have access to them? And that seems like it's generating a contrast with the current situation where especially youth offenders from Milwaukee are way far north, pretty far away from home.
Right. Yeah, and I think all the data leads to, and all the data and research is showing us that pro-social development is important for young people. A young person's brain is still developing up until even age 24 and 25, and so a part of the development process is about pro-social development, making sure that there are linkable or tangible linkages to family and community and sort of the customs and traditions of those communities that where they're growing up in. And if we're talking about rehabilitating young people, those same things apply. The pro-social development with family members, the being able to be exposed to resources and different things in those communities are part of a young person's development. And when you take those things away, we're not creating remedy. We're actually just doing punishment. And we all know that punishment is not a remedy. And so in order to be really rehabilitative and really help to transform and transcend some of the things that our young people are doing, we have to make sure that they have access to family members and positive supports from those they're familiar with.
There's this ongoing investigation by the FBI now, though it's not clear exactly what stage they're at, looking at Wisconsin's current main youth juvenile corrections facilities, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, allegations of abuse, neglect, not providing classes for kids. These are also supposed to be schools. What do you make of the current state of affairs, what we have now in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's just symptomatic of a failed model, that the current juvenile justice youth prison system that we have here in Wisconsin and across the nation just doesn't work. It's an outdated, failed model that's disproportionately based on biases and disparities, racial disparities. There are proven practices and proven models that are working now, given the culture and the context of our community now, where there are different considerations that we have that we need to give young people, particularly around the research that's emerging around brain development, pro-social development, that a lot of our prisons, because they're so outdated, they're not really, they're not subscribing to a lot of those theories of changes now. And so it's an outdated model. That's an outdated model that does not work, that's really, really costly, and much more focused on punishment than on rehabilitation.
I will get into some of the alternatives that exist and that you think we need in a bit, but I want to talk about incarceration. I think a lot of people look at it as, yes, a last resort, but I've heard from people in the justice system who say we've got some young offenders who really need to be incarcerated. They're committing violent crimes. Even the best rehabilitation systems that we have don't seem to be working. Do we need some kind of last resort incarceration? Maybe something better than Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake, mm-hmm. but something.
Yeah, and I think it's a question of accountability. This is not a conversation, or the work that we're doing is not a conversation about the lack of accountability. It's about really looking at the way we're holding young people accountable now today, and the ways that we do that are not in the best interest of their development, and it's also not in the best interest of the communities from which they're coming from. There are young people who do need additional levels or additional supports, and sometimes sometimes those supports do need to be in secure settings where they are safe, where they can be safe themselves or safe from themselves, and then where our communities can be safe and have a and be safe from those young people. But the way that we're doing it now just doesn't work. And I think data from not only Wisconsin but from all over the country shows that the, what we're doing with young people in our juvenile justice system across the country just does not work. Over a high percentage of young people within 3 years have recidivated back into the system. And a lot of times that leads to a pipeline right into the adult system. And so if we're seeing that amount of young people going into, going back into the system, that, that's proof there that the system has to take some accountability in the ways that it is contributing to the rate of recidivism of young people going back into the system.
Talking to Jeff Roman from the group Youth Justice Milwaukee, they have a poll out showing a lot of support for alternatives for reform of juvenile justice and a sentiment to avoid incarceration where possible. And if incarceration is needed, to keep it closer to home, more access to family and community. Jeff, let's talk about some of the alternatives that might be in place, say, in an area like Milwaukee now. What positive signs do you see in the community?
Well, I think we're seeing a lot of positive signs. I think what gets lost in the conversation, especially here in communities like Milwaukee, is that these young people are coming from a community that lack resources, that lack interest and genuine care for these young people, and that there are not experts and expertise in the communities from these young people come from. We know that simply is not just isn't true here in Milwaukee and in other places around the country. There are organizations and individuals who are working with young people before they go into the system, as they are coming out and working with their families, and have real tangible linkages and real life experience that relate to the young people. And the better that we can lift those organizations up and extend or scale the work that they're doing, the better results and outcomes we're going to have for young people here in Milwaukee. And there are a lot of examples of that work happening here and in other counties across the state that we can look to be able to really transform the way that we think about and deploy youth justice here in Milwaukee.
Now, according to the poll that your organization released, there's a pretty substantial majorities of people who support efforts like the ones you're talking about and trying for rehabilitation first before incarceration. Do you see that translating at the policy level into support, into financial commitment to that kind of approach?
I think there are serious conversations that are happening in at decision making tables with our policymakers, not only at the state level but across the state, at the county, and at some of the municipal levels as well. And I think the report, the polling that was released just recently from the Youth First Initiative and Youth Justice Milwaukee really speaks to and gives some validity to some of the conversations that are happening. A lot of times we make decisions as decision makers and policymakers without sufficient information and sufficient data. And we have proof now, and we have, you know, documented proof, attitudinal proof of people here in Wisconsin who are saying in large numbers that they prefer to really have a real conversation about alternatives to incarceration. Based on a number of factors.
I want to talk to you about what we know about what works at various steps along the way. And you mentioned the phrase, you know, before a kid is in the system. Are there things that we know, interventions that we know that can keep kids from that first interaction, from that first crime that makes them part of the criminal justice system?
Sure. There are a number of things. And a lot of the work that we do is focus on the ACEs, the Adverse Child Experiences, and trauma-informed care. And we know that is an emerging field of not only theory but of practice that's really has gained a lot of traction here in Milwaukee. And there are a number of programs and a number of organizations who apply sort of the practices of trauma-informed care just to figure out, you know, it's not a question of why did you do something or really why it gets to why did you do something, instead of just trying to, you know, hold you accountable right away. We want to really go deeper and really figure out why, what's led to, you know, why you are here, why you've done, or why there are certain behaviors that you're having. There's a reason for everything.
We've heard the phrase trauma-informed care a lot in Wisconsin lately from First Lady Tonette Walker, and her husband, Governor Scott Walker, mm-hmm. has mentioned that himself. Are you encouraged by that kind of talk at a high level in Wisconsin government?
I'm encouraged that the conversations are happening, and I mean, I want to give credit where credit is due, that both Governor Walker and his wife have been doing some really significant work here in Milwaukee around trauma-informed care. I don't think that, those conversations aside, I think there's more work for other decision makers to do. Just having a conversation is just one part of the process. We have to take those conversations and apply those to actual policy decisions and funding decisions that really impact the worst that we're seeing.
We're talking to Jeff Froman. He's a member of Youth Justice Milwaukee. He's with us to talk about a new poll from that group that shows a majority of Wisconsinites are in favor of taking a lot of different steps to keep young people out of youth prisons, site like Copper Lake or Lincoln Hills.
And we want to hear from you. What reforms would you like to see in the state? Should Wisconsin maintain a zero-tolerance approach or come up with a different way to punish young people who commit crimes? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
And if you are part of this story, if you or someone you know has been part of the youth justice system as an offender, as somebody getting rehabilitation, working in that system, especially like to hear from you. 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time.
We're talking to Jeff Froman of Youth Justice Milwaukee right now about new poll that shows a majority of Wisconsin residents would prefer to see young people who commit crimes rehabilitated instead of being sent to youth prisons like Copper Lake or Lincoln Hills.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on our youth justice system here in Wisconsin? If you went through the youth prison system in the state, what did you take away from your time there? If you're a parent whose child has gone through the system in one way or another, what impact did that have on your family? If you work in this, in a correctional facility yourself, in the justice system as a police officer, love to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers now. Bonnie is with us in Waukesha. Bonnie, hi.
Hi. I was wondering if any of the youth offenders get medical checkups right away, because I know that oftentimes there are medical problems that can lead to violence, like if there's a thyroid problem, people with thyroid problems frequently become tending toward violence, and once they're under treatment for the thyroid problem, they become much less violent.
Thanks for the call, Bonnie. Let's widen that even, Jeff. I mean, are there things that look into maybe a medical problem like that, maybe a mental health needing treatment, other problems that might be maybe an underlying cause of criminal activity?
Yeah, and there are, to speak to what's offered within the actual facilities, we do know that there are mandates for healthcare provision and for various screening processes to, you know, assess where young people are mentally and cognitively and behaviorally, and that's a part of the screening process when young people are sent through the system into the correctional facilities. I think our position is that those screening tools and the tools that are being used can be updated, can be more reflective of some of the cognitive behavioral kind of strategies or methods that are in existence today. For example, the trauma-informed care and the ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences assessment tools. We're not sure of the extent to which those are being used and to the extent that those are being sort of applied in the correctional facility. But I think it leads to a bigger question. To what extent are the correctional facilities in the state engaging really the expertise from experts in those fields, but also expertise from the communities to inform what those strategies would be? And we think that the way that engagement is happening desperately needs to be heightened up and broadened.
Bonnie, thanks for the call. We'll go next to David with us in Hayward. David, hi.
Yeah, I wanted to comment as a parent that I think following a period of incarceration, if offense requires that, you know, that given that sort of resource put into a juvenile offender, they should be followed in the community in a little tighter way to ensure that they would get education or a job skill, something to start to be a participator in community, rather than be just, you know, out of jail or out of prison and then on their own again. I think that promotes recidivism. And I think if they had a tighter connection with gaining some skills to take care of themselves better, I mean, this is just common sense, in my view, essential. I don't think it's happening.
David, thanks for the call. Is it happening, Jeff, some kind of help transitioning out of incarceration for, I mean, this comes up for older offenders, but for young offenders in particular?
Yeah, I think, it goes to the question of scale and to the development of more culturally responsive and culturally appropriate strategies that are being used. We do know that there are various services that young people and their families do receive as they are coming back into or being integrated back into the community. I believe that there are a number of additional providers and other strategies that could be used and scaled to be able to better support those young people. And those need to be incorporated and really incorporated into the individual plans that the young people as they are inside the facility and as they are coming out. And so that it's really what we like to call a soft transition after being released. And so the resources do exist. It's a question of scaling and really making sure that they're culturally appropriate for the young people.
Thanks for the call. We're talking about the youth justice system and alternatives to incarceration with Jeff Roman from Youth Justice Milwaukee. Back to our callers. Stacy is on the line in Portage. Stacy, hi.
Hi there. I'm calling as a consumer, and also I happen to be a provider of services. I work with at-risk kids, and unfortunately, I have a kiddo who has been an at-risk kid through no fault of our own. That he experienced a lot of trauma, and you know, I did a lot of things to try to keep him out of trouble. But the services just—they kind of aren't there until you're already in trouble. No matter how much a parent begs and needs it, right now the system is very reactive, and I think anybody in child protective services or juvenile justice can agree with that it's you can't get the help until it's too late. Fortunately for us, my son was able to go to Rawhide as opposed to, you know, something a bit more punitive and less restorative. And, you know, there's been a lot of time and energy poured into us, and I am so thankful because my son is not lost. And if we hadn't have had that, I don't, you know, if it had just been punitive, even though I knew he was in there, I needed the help to keep him from, you know, a worse future.
Stacy, thanks so much. Good luck to him and the kids you work with, for that matter. Jeff, to her first point there, service is not there, she says, until there's a crisis, not before there's a crisis.
And I think that's that. I think that is the point that I want you all to leave with, is that we do have a very reactive system, and unfortunately, the resources that do exist, they are for those who have been involved within the system. I think that again shows that the model that we are using, our justice model for young people that we're using, is fundamentally outdated and flawed, in that it does not consider the preventative things that need to be in place and really invest on the front end of providing supports to young people, their families, and the communities that they come from, so that we don't have to invest the millions of dollars that we invest on the back end to incarcerate them, and then to provide minimal services on the back end.
Stacy, thanks. Erica is with us now in Kewaskum. Hi, Erica.
Hi. I had previously worked as an AODA counselor in the local jail and for adolescents, and it wasn't necessarily because they had AODA-related offenses, but
it's alcohol or other drugs, right?
Right. A lot of them, unfortunately, were in there, you know, several times because they just really didn't even mind being in there, and getting to know them, a lot of them came from houses that, you know, they didn't have the kind of support that they needed in order to have thought patterns otherwise. You know, they didn't care that they were doing these things and getting in trouble, because a lot of times their parents were doing the same. And, you know, they definitely need the support, like rehabilitation-wise, in order to make some sort of change in their life.
Erica, thanks for the call. Jeff, is there help out there for parents who maybe are going through similar things that their kids are going through in the justice system?
I think that's a fair question. And I think the reality is, just as we talk about the minimal resources for young people, there needs to be an increase in resources for parents on the front end and working with parents to get the supports that they need. I think what we're seeing, what we are seeing, especially in communities like Milwaukee, is that we have a relatively young population of people who are having children at a younger age or had been having children at a younger age that contributes to the context of what we see today, which tells me that we need to be working with our policymakers and decision makers again on really scaling the resources and investment that we put into supports on the front end, prevention and family support, and in education, like the other caller said, and making sure that there are opportunities for economic development and business creation and growth in communities like Milwaukee that are deterrents to the symptoms that we see, violence and the various things that leads to young people being incarcerated.
We'll leave it there for now. Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Jeff Roman with Youth Justice Milwaukee. He joined us to talk about a new poll just released showing a majority of Wisconsinites would like to see young people who commit crimes kept out of youth prisons, things like Copper Lake and Lincoln Hills.